And I've been enjoying, and obviously the Bible is full of things about prayer. We've seen some stuff that would hinder prayer in our lives. We've seen stuff that the Bible says, if we do this, this, and this, we're guaranteed, and so on and so forth. And, prayer is different. There's supplication. There's asking on our behalf. There's asking on others' behalf. They're asking for direction and wisdom, just like we just talked about in some of these situations. And there's just asking for help and so on and so forth. And then I believe it was Brother Jackson not too long ago when he was here on a Sunday night, I believe, and he preached on just say thank you. And of course, we haven't gotten to that part yet in our Bible study as far as on prayer. But that's obviously a necessary part of prayer. And that's just thanking God. And so a lot of times when something's serious on our mind, like we've talked about tonight, where it's sicknesses that we don't know, we can't do anything about it. We need God to intervene. And there was one other lady I was supposed to tell y'all about. I'm sorry. Her name's Tammy Huizenga, and she's about my age, maybe a little younger. But if God doesn't intervene, she's going to go home to be with Jesus. And her dad texted me today and asked us to pray for her. Tammy Huizenga. And it's cancer, and like I say, if the Lord doesn't do something, she's not going to be too much longer here on this earth. And so pray for that family. Pray that God heals her, but if not, pray for God to comfort that family. Tammy Huizenga. Anyway, we see that we ought to be thankful, and we've taught, I think it was a Sunday school lesson, the attitude of gratitude. We ought to all have that. And if we take time to be thankful, then we will take time, we will have time, or we will have something to be thankful for. So we ought to think about how good God is to us and things like that. And so we'll get to that. But there's just so much in the Bible about prayer. And tonight is another, angle or avenue of prayer. And my title is this: God has not changed the formula for answered prayer. And so, this will not cover all of it. All right, we'll just see what God's saying here is I have a certain formula, and there are some things, if you'll do them, you will get your prayers answered. And a formula, obviously, especially if it's a good one, it ought not be messed with. And I think of right now, there's the formula there in Atlanta, Georgia, deep, 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 deep down in the vault at the Coke factory of the formula of Coke. And it ought not be messed with, right? And those of you that are Coke lovers, and some of you are like, well, I like Pepsi better anyway. So anyway, but you have the formula. It ought not be messed with. Then there have been some times, though, when the formula came out, and maybe you drank something and like, whoa, that needs some help, or that needs a little bit of this, and that needs a little bit of that. And you change that formula a little bit. If you like it a little spicier, if you like it a little less spicier, you back it off a little bit. And so on and so forth. But prayer, the formula of getting your answers to your prayer, God's got some formulas here in the Bible. And as long as there's not any of that hindrance, those things like regarding iniquity in our hearts, obviously living in blatant sin, things like that, we can't add that to this formula and get the same results. But these formulas here, God says, okay, if you'll add a little bit of this or a lot of this, or if you'll just add this to your life, it'll get your prayers answered. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. God has not changed the formula for answered prayer. And we're going to look at three things here. First of all, that's God's part. We can't do this. Obviously, we're not God. I can't save anybody, but God can. I can't answer any prayers, but God can. I can't do that. I'm just supposed to preach this book and pray that God does His part. And so we're going to look at three things here that God says this has to be involved in the formula. And I promise you, it will be. Because God can't lie, the Bible says. He's going to do His part. And the first one is found in James 1. James 1, over in the back of your Bible. James chapter 1, verse 17. And this is the first little douse of God's promise that we're going to add to the formula here tonight. And say, okay, we have to put this in our mindset. This has to be involved in the prayer. James 1:17 says this: every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. And so God's saying, okay, here's the formula. All right? If it's going to be good and if it's going to be perfect, it's going to have to come from God. It can't come from any individual. It definitely can't come from Satan. It can't come from any philosophy. It can't come from any religion. It has to be, if it's going to be a good gift and a perfect gift, it's going to be from God. And God says this: every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, that cometh down from the Father of lights. And here's the formula. Don't mess with it, he says. With whom is no variableness. Okay, and some people, you know, they're good at just, you know, well, how many ounces of this do you put in there? Well, I don't know. I just always go, and that's about how much I put in there. Well, how many, you know, ounces of this do you put? I don't know. I just do this. All right? But God says, in answering prayer, we can't have a dab of this and a dab of that. Or a soupçon of this and a soupçon. No, it has to be exact. There is no variableness. And so God says, when you know, if you want your prayers answered, I'm going to do my part and I'm not going to vary. Why? Because there is no variableness in me. I'm going to do my part. The sun rises in the east, settles in the west. God's going to do His part when it comes to gifts and perfect gifts. Why? Because God says, you know, if it's on, you know, like some of us, we're like, Monday mornings, just don't even call me. All right? I'm going to be sleeping in. That's my day off, so don't bother me. So there's a variableness there. I'm not getting up at this time like I do every other day except Monday. All right? So that's a variableness. But God, there's never a time where God says, look, I'm sleeping in today, universe, just letting y'all know. Don't bother me. All right? There's no variableness. So He's there. And again, some people, you know, you wake up and it's midnight and say, I know so-and-so's still up. I'm going to go ahead and text them. All right? Because you know they're up. All right? And so God's going to be, it doesn't matter what time, it doesn't matter what day, it doesn't matter what circumstance. He's like, look, I'm able to give good gifts and perfect gifts. There's no variableness in that. And then it goes here, and neither shadow or turning. Sometimes a shadow, you know, especially if you're looking at the shadow. I've been walking down the road, and my shadow makes me look like I'm 9 foot tall. Right? It depends on the angle of the sun. And I'm like, I know I'm not that tall. All right? And then sometimes, you know, the shadows, especially when you get older like myself and you have to start wearing glasses, you can't see as well in the shadows. And you're like, you have to squint, things like that. That's what God's saying here. Look, I'm God every day, all day, 24/7, 365. I'm the same. It doesn't matter where the sun is. It doesn't matter the shadow. It doesn't matter the situation. I'm God and I will always be God. There's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. I'll read you two more verses. You don't have to turn there. If you want to write them down, you can. But Malachi, obviously right there in the Minor Prophets, right before the New Testament, Malachi 3, verse 6, it says this about God. Or he says this about himself. In Malachi 3, 6, it says this: For I am the Lord, I change not. And so again, we're looking at God's part of this formula. Well, it's 2025 next month, or next year, you know, God's different. No, He's not. Okay, when Christ was walking around on this earth, God was the same God as He is right now. Before Christ was born in the manger, God was the same God. When Jesus Christ comes back and receives His own, God's going to be the same. There's no variableness in Him. Well, there's a shadow. There's something else causing it. No, there's not. God's the same. And it says in Malachi 3:6, For I am the Lord, I change not. So, you know, well, God just don't answer prayer like He used to back in George Mueller's day. Yes, He does. He's still the same God. There may not be a George Mueller on this earth, but God's the same God. And we see two verses here. There's no variableness, no changing. Then Deuteronomy 1:17. It says this, and a lot of people say, well, you know, it's a different day, but it's not a different God. Remember that. It is a different day. They do things in this day that they didn't do when some of us were kids. All right? And they just didn't mention that. And the world has gotten worse. Yes, so the world has changed. Situations have changed. People have changed. But God has not. And so He can answer prayer in 2024 just like He could back in 1924. when some of y'all were born. But I'm just kidding. Anyway, we see here, there's no variableness, there's no change. And then Deuteronomy 1:17 says this, "Ye shall not respect persons in judgment." So there's no variableness. Well, you know, well, God answers young people's prayer, but not old people. God answers this race, but not this race. Mm-mm. There's no respecter of person in God's judgment. Just like we saw, I believe it was Sunday morning when we read that verse about God sets these people up and tears these people down. And a lot of people, especially Calvinists, will grab a verse like that and say, "See, I told you." But if right there in the middle of that was the word judgment. So God makes a judgment, then He sets this person up and He tears this person down. That judgment was based on that individual. It's like the Bible says, and I think I use this illustration, you tithe, God's going to bless. You don't tithe, God's going to poke holes in your pocket. That's His judgment. And so we see here, He's no respecter of persons. You're a preacher, you ought to get your prayers answered. No, He'll answer your prayers just like He will mine. And mine's no better than yours. Anybody that wants to ask God, if you're doing your part, and we're going to look at our part in just a minute, God will do His part. So He sees here, no variableness. I change not, and I'm not a respecter of persons in judgment, but shall hear the small as well as the great. And He goes on that rest of that verse that says, you're the rich, the poor, the educated, the non-educated. I don't have judgment in answering prayer. Why? Because there's no variableness. There's no changing of the formula on my side because I change not. So we see here, God will do His part. One, He will not have any variableness. Number two, He will not change. Number three, He'll have no respecter of persons in judgment. That's God's part. Here's our part. By the way of introduction, Leviticus, I'm reading some hard ones to find here. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, that's the third book of the Bible. Leviticus 26, we're going to look at our part now. So God doesn't change. There's no variableness. He's not a respecter of person. He will do His part. That's God's part of the formula, getting our prayers answered. Now here's our part. Now this is a little bit more difficult. Obviously, we don't help God be God. God's God. We don't help Him not change. He just won't change. We don't, based on what persons we are or people we are or what we do, that's not going to affect God. He's going to be just. He's going to do the same thing every time. But here's our part. Leviticus 26, 3 and 4. It says, if ye, and there's a lot of if ye's in the Bible. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, confess their sins, I'm paraphrasing here, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their lands. So God puts it up on our, in our lap. Okay, if you want your prayers answered, here's a God that doesn't change. Here's a God that has no respecter of persons. I will do my part. Now let's see if you will do your part. If you walk in my statutes, in other words, when we see things in the Bible in our devotions, or we hear something taught in Sunday school, or if we hear something preached, whether it be on a podcast or cassette tape, if you ever have one of those, or a CD, but you heard a truth from the Word of God, and God says Christians ought to do this, and you're like, I'm going to do that. So if ye walk in my statutes, and here it is, another one, and keep my commandments and do them, that's is our part. Then here's the next verse or next word in verse 4. Then that no variableness God, then that God that doesn't change, then that God that has no respecter of persons in His judgment, then. Why? Well, what we have to do, we have to walk in the statutes of the Bible, keep His commandments. Then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Now, obviously in Leviticus, I would say a good percentage of the people were either a farmer or related to a farmer, or bought food from a farmer. And so obviously nowadays we have multi-million dollar companies that send us food, and we go to Sam's and we go to Walmart and we go to the Dollar General and we get food. But it came from somewhere. All right. Back then, if they didn't have a Walmart to go to, they couldn't Amazon anything. They were trusting in themselves. or somebody they were related to, or somebody they bartered with. I'll give you a goat if you give me some food, things like that. And so if it didn't rain and that stuff didn't grow, they were in trouble. And so they were saying, God, we need you to bless what we do. We need you to bless what we've planted. We need you to bless our crops, our things like that. And God says, okay, if you'll walk in my statutes, keep my commandments, then I will do that for you. In our day and time, it would be, okay, I will help you keep your job. I will help give you the strength to go to your job. I will keep you safe as you're driving to your job. And I will help ends meet. And so, but we still have to do our part, even though we may not be a farmer. Some of us are in here. But anyway, that's what the promise there was. What's our part, even in 2024? Walking in the statutes of the Bible, keeping His commandments, do them. Then God will bless. Deuteronomy 11, 22 and 23. Looking at our part again. If ye shall diligently keep all these commandments. Okay, so not just keep them, but I mean diligently keep them. And so we're looking at a formula here. God's part's not going to change, but I want to make sure I do everything that I'm supposed to do on my part, so God will do His part. So I'm going to diligently keep all these things. Some people, that's what they'll look at a Christian and say, dude, relax, man. You know, you're dotting I's and crossing T's and you're just too pumped up and too serious about this. That Bible says right there, diligently. All right, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I want to do my part. Why? Because just like that farmer wanted to do his part because he, his wife, his kids depended on that food. Maybe people that bought that food from him depended on that. So again, as a dad, as a husband, I want to do my part diligently so God will bless my wife and bless my family and bless my home. So it says here, if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, and walk in all His ways, and to cleave unto Him. So that's a whole bunch of if we do. We got to diligently keep them all, love God, walk in all His ways, cleave unto Him, not into this world or not into any other thing like that. Verse 23 says, then will the Lord drive out all the nations from before you. In other words, that verse, the difference between the first verse where I'll help you in your job, I'll bless your efforts. This one says, I'll keep you safe from the devil. I'll keep you safe from this world's philosophy. I'll keep you safe from the enemies of God. And so if you'll do your part, God says, I'll do my part. And the third and last one that we'll look at, and then we'll get in the outline. It says in Psalm 66, 18, if, and I believe I quoted some of this verse just a few minutes ago, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So in other words, if I say, it's no big deal, it's just one sin. It's no big deal, it's just a choice that I made. It's no big deal, I enjoy this. But if it's against this, it is a big deal. And so God says, look, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I'm not hearing you. I'm plugging my ears. And it says here, but verily God hath heard me and hath attended to my voice and my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer nor His mercy from me. So again, we have to do our part of confessing that sin. Now, you know, in my brain sometimes like, okay, all right, God's great. He's not, there's no variableness. He's not going to change. He's got the ability. Okay, I'm going to keep His commandments. I'm going to diligently try to do what the Bible says. And I'm going to be sinless. That maybe lasted, what, 30 seconds? Boom. Oh, I can't. All right. And again, as an OCD perfectionist, I get it. All right. And that's why it's like David said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a body like Jesus. Awesome. There's not ability to do wrong when we get there. And I'm looking forward to that. Same here. So we see here what we have to do is we have to deal with that sin. I'd like to be able to say, I'm just going to be sinless. I'm going to just be perfect. I'm just going to not make any more mistakes. But we can't do it. And so then the devil magnifies that. You know, you loser. You know, here you are. You tried to be perfect. And you made it for 30 seconds. All right. You know, you're useless. And you. So what we have to do is this verse. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God's not going to hear me. So what did he say do? He said, but barely God heard my prayer, and he attended my voice, and said, he heard my prayer. Why? Blessed be God who hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So in other words, before I say, okay, God, I got this issue right here, and I know you don't change, and there's no variableness, and you're not a respected person, you're going to answer my prayer. You're going to hear it. But then I go to pray, and the Holy Spirit says, you know, but you have this issue, this guilt, or this grudge, or this you know, thought. Let's get this fixed first. Okay? So what did he do? I got to pray and ask God to forgive me for that. And it says here, his mercy will forgive me, and then God can still do his part. So it says here, we don't have to be sinless to have God our prayers answered, but we must confess with them. And here's the key. Confess them and then accept God's mercy. Again, that's hard for some of us, especially myself. It tries so hard to be what God wants me to do. And I don't deserve it. I don't deserve Him to give it to me. But He says He will if I confess. 1 John 1:9. So God promises in His commands. God's promises and His commands, they go hand in hand. If I confess, He's just and faithful to forgive. If I ask Him to hear my prayer, He mentions a sin, I confess it, He gives me mercy. So He keeps His commandments, and He will help us with His promise. So God cannot change, or has not changed, the formula of answering our prayers or blessing our lives. And we're going to look at the formula real quick, and we got about 15 minutes. So some of these will be familiar, some of them may not be. This one I know we've all heard. If you know much about church and going to church and how churches work, you've heard this verse. And I'll just go ahead and use it first so we can get it out of the way. It's found in Malachi 3. Has a man robbed God? All right? So we're looking at the formula. In this verse, it tells us that unvariableness, that unchanging God, that no respecter of persons God, looks down. And if I've prayed, I don't know if He's got an angel that's in charge of keeping up with the books. But he says in his Bible, the formula, all right, this guy, this person, this lady has asked me to answer this prayer. Are they tithing? Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Formula's working. I'm going to read it to you. Malachi 3:10-11. Bring ye the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Okay, so this is God's plan. The reason that we have lights on tonight, and the reason we have AC in the middle of October, still working, and the reason that we are able to go and wash our hands and we have supplies to dry them and soap to use and all that kind of stuff is because there's meat in God's house. Right? People bring their tithes to the storehouse, puts it here so we can have clean pews to sit on, clean carpet to walk on, all the facilities that we have. Why? Because there's meat in His house. And then it says here, and prove me. All right? God's like, I want you to prove me. You tithe, and you ask for a prayer, I'll answer. You just prove me. It says here, for me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And again, I believe our church is a great picture of this verse. Right? Because we have people that love God, they want to be obedient to God, so they tithe. And we have not a need for anything. We even have extra. It's just there's a blessing, and there's not enough room. And that's why we'll give it to a missionary. We'll help support this, or we'll help fix that. Why? Because God blesses. And it says here, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. So if you're asking God to help you get out from the devil's temptations and brutal attacks, here's one way to prove God. Tithe. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before its time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Again, that was the thing back in the day. If it got too ripe too quick, some type of bug would eat it. All right, or it would start shriveling up before they picked it. It's got to be almost perfect. We need enough rain. We need enough sunshine. We need it to start ripening at the right time. Lord, please help us. Right? That's what he said. I'll do all that. I'll help protect you. I'll bless you. But you've got to do your part. By keeping my commandments, in my statutes and giving to God's house. It says here, the promise was based on our obedience. Tithe and obey Him, believe in Him, and in His Word, prove me is what it says. But it says here, when we make promises to our kids, we mean it. Okay, if you'll get this many A's on your report card, I will. And they're like, what? If you'll be nice to your brother or your sister all day long, I will. What? Okay. If you'll, you know, sit up and talk nice when we have relatives over and they'll think you're sweet angels and, you know, I'm not having to get on to you, I will promise you I will. What? Right. They're going to prove you. If you say, if you get 3 A's on your report card, I'm going to give you $25. I mean, they buckled down, they did, and they come in, I didn't get 3, I got 4. Now, where's my $25? I was just kidding. Nuh-uh. They're not going to do that. If you'll behave while Granny's here, we'll take you to your favorite restaurant, and we'll get you this. Granny leaves, and they've just been a perfect little angel. When we going? I'll go get the keys for you right now. That is exactly what proved me. That's what God's saying. So if you'll tithe, the Bible says, I'll open up the windows of heaven and bless you. All right? There's the formula. But if you don't, then I'm going to just poke holes in your pockets and ends won't meet and things like that. Prove me. Prove me. That's what he's saying. So if we tell them that anything that in completion that they will, you know, they're going to come to us and say, you said. All right? I tried this on my dad one time, a boy on my baseball team. His dad had told him, anytime you hit a home run, I'll give you $10. All right? And so he hit one, and his dad gave him $10. And so I had hit 2 that game. I tried, hey, Dad, where's my $20? I didn't make that deal. You go talk to Johnny's daddy if he's giving out 10s for home runs. I didn't make that deal. So, but anyway, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work because he didn't, you know, to promise me that. But God promises you, hey, you tithe, I'll open up the windows of heaven. I'll pour the blessing out on you that you cannot hold it all. It says, so if we tell him that, God says, prove me. So we can remind God that, hey, I gave my tithe and my offering. And if you read some more verses about that, you could even say, and I cheerfully did it. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. So in other words, I didn't go, oh my goodness, that's, oh. No, praise the Lord. All the bills are met. Here you go, Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord for providing for me, and there's I'm cheerfully giving to those missionaries, I'm cheerfully giving to the church so it can have meat. In other words, all the needs are met. I'm cheerfully doing that. Now, you said you would do this. All right, looking at the formula. Tithe was the first one. Second one is find God's purpose. Find God's purpose. Now, that tithe is pretty simple when it comes to the Christian life. You know, 10%, you figure it out, and you bring it. But this one is a little bit more difficult. To find God's purpose. Why? Because He created Adam for a purpose, to be Eve's husband and vice versa, and to be Cain and Abel's mom and dad and so on and so forth. And obviously, the devil got involved in battling and things like that. But He's no respecter of persons. Just like He created Adam and Eve for a purpose, He created all of us for a purpose. And we got to find that. Romans 8:28, very familiar verse. And we know that all things work together for good. Didn't say that they were good, but they work together for good if you'll let God. It says here, to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. So my purpose, I found out some of them. I still don't know them all. I don't know my purpose when I'm, you know, in my 60s or in my 70s, my 80s. I'm not there yet, getting closer. But I do know that one of God's purposes for me when I was born was to be Sharon Hudson's husband. Right? I found that purpose and I've been doing it with God's help to the best of my ability. I found out that one of my purposes that God created me to be was a dad to Jason and Brian. And again, it doesn't take as much effort now as it did back then when they were smaller, but I'm still their dad. And I still, that's one of my purposes. He's also created me to be a father-in-law to Jessica and Victoria. And then He created me to be a pawpaw. All right, a pawpaw to 7 wonderful little perfect angels that never do anything wrong. All right, and their pawpaw, you know, they called and sang to me today and all kinds of stuff. I'm their pawpaw. That's one of my purposes. And so another purpose is to be a friend to my friends. And another purpose is to be the pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And another purpose is to be a light to this world, a light to this community, a Christian light. That's the purpose. And so, okay, God, I found that, and I'm doing my best with your help, and I'm praying. But if you just go through life selfish, and it's all about me, and as long as I'm happy, I don't care about anybody else, and things like that, we're not going to get our prayers answered. So God's like, I created you for a purpose, and you hadn't found one of them. I mean, much less two or three. But you're just going through life doing your own thing. So, but here's some formula. You find out what God created you for, and do your best. It says here, all things will work together for good. God created us on purpose and for a purpose. I've said this many times before. God didn't look down at any of us and go, how'd that one get there? I don't recall making that one. No. He did it on purpose, for a purpose. So if we're striving to fulfill His purpose, His promises are, hey, I will supply your every need. Of course, Philippians 4:19 tells us that. It's like, God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So if I find my purpose that God created me for, He says, hey, you can have confidence in this. Mark it down. You found God's purpose to be married to that person, to work there and to serve there and to be a good Christian to this person and that person, to be a friend to this person, that person. You just get it done. And it says here, I'm going to just keep working in you. So, formula. Tithe. Formula. Find God's purpose. Number three, seek God's glory. Seek God's glory. A lot of people, they'll start tithing and they'll find a purpose, but then it'll go to their head. What did all the Pharisees do? I give this much. Listen. Clunk, 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 clunk. It was all about them. Okay? So what happens is we start with the right kind of formula. Okay, I'm tithing and I found a purpose here, but I'm doing it all for my glory. All right? Formula stopped. That Pharisee went home unjustified. Why? Because the formula stopped. So we got to seek God's glory. I'll read these verses. Exodus 32:10. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath shall wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. And so we see here, them is those people that are seeking their own glory. I'm going to wax hot. I'm going to wipe the ground with them, those Pharisees. But thee, if you're seeking God's glory, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. Proverbs 25:27. It is not good to eat much honey. For men to search their own glory is not glory. So Satan, what did he say? I will be like the Most High. I will ascend into the throne. I will take over heaven. What was he doing? He was seeking his own glory. What did Jesus do? He came down and made himself of no reputation, but took on the form of a servant. So we're looking at the formula to get our prayers answered. Tithe. Find your purpose and then seek the glory of God. A lot of people can't handle success because they pray like crazy and they ask God to help in the beginning, but then, like the Pharisees, it goes to their head. They start seeking their own glory and not giving God the glory. So if you're looking at material possessions, when they didn't have a lot, they would say, God, you got to help me. God, I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need this. And then they start getting that big old bank account. And the Bible says it's easier for a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle than to be saved. Why? Because he's not trusting in God. That material prosperity went to his head and he's not seeking God's glory. Even spiritual prosperity. There's people out there today, and I'm not against writing books. I'm not against putting out information. But a lot of them, it goes to this. I've got it figured out. I've arrived. I am the greatest at this, and I am the greatest at that. When the glory goes from there to here, God's going to get mad. He's going to wax hot. So even material prosperity, if we're not seeking God's glory with it, He's going to be mad. Spiritual prosperity, recognition of prosperity. So it turns to self-trust, self-reliance, self-governing, And the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So, that formula, pray, God, I want this, but I want you to help me to give you the glory for it. So, tithe finds the purpose, seek God's glory. Here's another one, and we're just going to read these last few because we're out of time. Consider the poor, the Bible says, Proverbs 41, 1 through 3. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. So God's like, here's some formula. If you consider the poor, then the Lord will deliver him in his time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive and subdue and bless upon, and there shall be blessed upon the earth, and that will deliver him into the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languish. It says there, thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. So when we need God's help, obviously if we've helped somebody that needs help, God sees that and God will help us. So tithe, find God's purpose, seek the glory of God, consider the poor. The next, seek the welfare of others. Luke 11, 8 and 9, I say unto you that he will not rise and give him because of his friend, yet he, because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as many as he needs. This story, basically, a man was in his house and a friend came over. And he's like, I don't have any food. I need to give my friend. So I'm going to go to my neighbor and ask him. And he's like, I'm already in the bed. Kids too. Leave. Get. Boom, boom, boom. I need some bread. I told you. We're already in the bed. We're asleep. Come back tomorrow. Boom, boom, boom. He finally gets up and gives him some bread. But the guy wasn't asking for him. He was asking for somebody else. So here's a formula. If we're asking for other people, praise the Lord, we share those prayer requests at night. If we ask for other people, if we seek, we knock, and it shall be open unto us if we're concerned about others. Have a perfect heart, Isaiah 38, 2. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and he prayed. And the Lord said, or unto the Lord, and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee that I walk before thee in truth with a perfect heart, and hath done that which thou is good in his sight. And so Hezekiah obviously was doing his part, like we saw at the beginning, if we this and if we that. And he was reminding God, he was proving God. And Hezekiah said, God, I've had a perfect heart. Now I need you to do this. And of course his prayer got answered. He got 15 more years of life. That's what he was asking for. So tithe, find God's purpose, seek God's glory, consider the poor, seek the welfare of others, and have a perfect heart. And the last one, follow Jesus' example. Follow Jesus' example. Matthew 6, 9 and 10, he says, hey, when you pray, pray after this manner. And you know the story. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven as it is here on the earth. And so, and then he also prayed for peace of Jerusalem. He prayed for laborers in the field because they were white unto harvest. And he prayed this often. Father, not my will, but thine be done. Formula has not changed. And so let's take advantage of it. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, we thank you for these promises. And you say they're in your word. Prove me. I say if you do this, I'll do that. Prove me. If you'll live like this, I'll bless like that. Prove me. If you have a need, consider the poor. Consider others. You take care of other people's needs, I'll take care of your needs. Prove me. And we thank you for these principles. So Lord, I just ask you to help us take this formula and live our life to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.